John's Gospel, chapter 19, please. John chapter 19, verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, they crucified him. Verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. In the second part of the meeting tonight, I'd like to just pick up where we left off in the first message. I'd like to speak to you about the cross of Jesus. That's the words that we've just read in verse 25, the cross of Jesus. It was April 3rd and AD 33. That is when there was the death of our Savior. That's when it took place, the cross of Jesus. Could I just ask you, what does the cross mean to you? I think there may be some here tonight and you say, I've known about the cross. I probably learned about it. In fact, I don't even know when I learned about it. I know everything there is about the cross. I've heard it all my life, maybe. And I think it's all true. I'm convinced of it all. Everything I've read, everything I've heard about the cross is true, but I'm not saved. Do you not understand that there's a tremendous contradiction there? You see, when it comes to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's something you do not know, there's something you do not understand, or there's something you flat out don't believe, or you would be saved. And that's why we're here tonight. Our hope and prayer is that you will think for the next 20 minutes or so about the cross of Jesus. And I hope and pray you'll come to understand what maybe you've never understood before about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because I want you to think, first of all, about the commonness of the cross. So if I asked you, give me the names, give me the names of people that you know in history that died on a cross. So you would go like I, you would say like I would. Well, first of all, there was Jesus, and then there was, well, the thief on the one side, and there was a thief on the other side, and there was probably a lot of other people. Well, probably a lot of other people isn't too specific. But the reality is, for over 400 years, in the Roman Empire, they used this as a means of execution. It was the death penalty. And so hundreds and thousands of men were crucified on crosses. Very, very common. People, in fact, Josephus, he writes about the day when there were 500 men that were crucified all in one day. Imagine that. Gruesome. 500 crosses. And people were accustomed. They put the crosses very often by the side of the road, an important via, an important roadway. And people would come along and they would see it. And the Roman government was reminding people, look, behave yourselves, or this is what will happen to you. It was very common. But really, even though it was out of all the people that have died on crosses, and I don't know any other names other than the one cross that matters tonight, it stands out. It's the only cross that will do anything for you. The cross of Jesus, the death of Christ. And so I want you to think not only about the commonness of it all, but I want you to think about the cruelty of the cross. The cruelty of the cross. I think it's true that if you're going to be in pain and you're going to suffer, Most people would like to have some privacy. Wouldn't you like that? You don't want to, in front of all of you young people, if you're going to be in a lot of pain and just be crying with pain, wouldn't you like, you wouldn't want to be in front of the classroom. You'd kind of like to be just alone, maybe with a friend or two. Nobody hardly that we know of in history ever died on a cross in a private place. They put them out right in front of everybody. And in the case of the Lord Jesus, we actually know that he tore his clothes off him. See how cruel it was? Before they crucified him, there was no privacy. Didn't even have his clothes to protect him from the sight of the people that walked by. But when it comes to suffering and pain, most of the time we like to have people come and comfort us. If they were going to crucify the Lord Jesus, why didn't they just take him out and crucify him? Because you see, the mindset was to inflict the most amount of pain they possibly could. And so that's why before they took him to the cross, they whipped his back. And the Bible describes it looking like a plowed field. That's why when he was on the cross, many people on cross, they would try and have to kind of stand up to be able to breathe. And sometimes they even put a piece of wood behind them so they could kind of sit on it. They say, oh, that's so kind of them. No kindness at all. The idea was to prolong the death as long as possible. Make the pain be the maximum amount. Cruelty of a cross. And with the Lord Jesus, we don't know that they had a piece of wood where he could sit upon it, halfway up the cross and kind of lean on it. But what we do know is this. They came along and they offered him medicine. And people looked at it and said, well, they must have had a moment of kindness in them. And they thought, well, we'll just give him a little anesthesia so he doesn't feel the pain. That's not what they were doing at all. The cruelty of the cross, the medicine that they would give to him was to prolong the agony. That's what they were after. Make him suffer to the maximum amount of suffering. And if he can carry it out, and that's why when they came and they said, reported to Pilate and they said, he's dead already. Pilate was surprised that he was dead already, that it happened so fast. Normally a crucifixion would endure and it would carry on and it would go on and it would be the Lord Jesus didn't die with a sword. And as painful it would be, well, it would be over quickly if they had just piled rocks on top of him. Instead, he died on a cross. The Son of Man must be lifted up in the most cruel form of death, the cross of Jesus. It was a cruel act to put him on the cross. But I want you to think about the causelessness of the cross of Jesus. Why did they put him on a cross? Well, normally, people were put on crosses, according to the Roman government, who were criminals, or they were people who were, they were enemies of the state, or they were people who were causing a government revolution. And there they were, a criminal, or somebody was trying to overthrow the government. And what was the cause of the cross of Jesus? What crime had he committed? You say, I don't know. Well, they didn't know either. But they crucified him anyway. You remember that there was a man, maybe that cross was actually put together for him. His name was Barabbas. You know what the Bible says about Barabbas? It explains why Barabbas perhaps was going to be crucified. It says he was a robber. There was a man on the right and there was a man on the left. Both of them were crucified. Why? The Bible tells us why. It says they were thieves. What does the Bible say about the Lord Jesus? Well, the man who was right close to the cross, he gave us his words. The centurion said, he didn't say he was a robber. He was a murderer. He was a thief. He was a government, a rebel. No, that's not what he said. He actually said two things. He said, this was a just man. He said, this was the Son of God. What was the cause of the death of the Lord Jesus? There was absolutely no reason for those men to crucify my Savior. There was no reason they could find in him. But I want you to think with me about that, because, you know, there must, if there was going to be, usually there's somebody somewhere that can come up with something that somebody did wrong. You have to remember, there were demons, and the demons hated the Lord Jesus. They had been thrown out of heaven by him already. And now they're on earth, they're unseen, those wicked spirits, and they were taking over people, and their people would speak. They would possess demon possession, and they would take charge of people, and they would take control even of their mouths. And surely if one of them knew something about the Lord Jesus, that he had committed a crime or he had committed a sin, that one of them would speak. There's never a record of a demon accusing the Lord Jesus of a sin. He was sinless. You say, well, but what about... I don't know what your name is. What is your name?
Hudson.
Hudson, you don't know me very well. But if I told you I'm a perfect person, all you would have to do is just get up after this meeting and you'd have to walk down here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, to my friend Shad. And you'd say, Shad, tell me a little bit about John. My claim to perfection would be shot. Was there not a friend a person who knew the Lord Jesus who would come forward and say, I'm sorry to tell you this, but am I passing my time with him? Instead, there was a man by the name of Peter, and Peter said, he did nothing. He did nothing wrong. There was another one, John, who wrote this book. John, he wrote later, he said, there was no sin in him. The friends came, not one friend came forward and said, I don't like to admit this. It's going to ruin everything. We all think so much of him. Absolutely nothing. And Hudson, if you went down 6 chairs and you didn't talk to him, then you just going back 2 rows and you go back there and you just, there's a lady in, that's my wife. You just go talk to my family and they'll know all about it. They'll be able to tell you all about me. You know, one of the things that amazes me about the cross of Jesus is the silence of the family members of Christ. His half-brothers and sisters were not Christians. And if they could have come out and accused him of something wrong, they would have done it. Silence. Hudson, if you couldn't go there, if you got on your cell phone, there's a lady living in Plymouth, Michigan. You call her. My mother. And you say, tell me about John Dennison. Don't bother, please. Tell me about John Dennison when he was a boy. Standing right at the cross of the feet of the cross of Jesus is Mary. If anybody knew about the Lord Jesus, it was her. She doesn't hang her hand in her hands and say, I'm so sorry to tell you this. All of you believers. But he can't be our Savior because... No, she said it ahead of time. My heart rejoices in God, my Savior. Silence. But even if I could hide something from you and my friend and my wife... And my mother. And demons. You can never hide it from God. You will never hide your sin from God. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. What did God see when he looked at the Lord Jesus? He said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. The Jews, what did they say? You know, there were two men, and they were Jewish, and they were right by the cross, and they spoke up, and the one man says, Jesus, the cross of Jesus, this man's done nothing amiss. Gentiles, Herod said, I find no crime, no fault in him. Pilate said the same thing. Herod said, we find nothing worthy of death. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Jews and Gentiles, family and friends and enemies, and God himself declare, the cross of Jesus is the cross of a man who was absolutely perfect, absolutely holy. Not only who did not sin, but absolutely could not sin. Thank God for the purity of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on that cross. But I want you to think with me, if you will, about the awful, awful treatment on that cross. Ever think about what they took away from the Lord Jesus? I mentioned that they took away his clothes. Isaiah 50 says that they took away his beard. And it's not that they grabbed, it's that they took away his beard. Think about the insults. They said the meanest things to him. They doubted whether he was the Christ. They doubted whether he was a man. They mocked him as being a male. They mocked him and insulted him. They even doubted whether God would have him. And then they began, first the Jews, they began to spit on him. And one after another, they took their turn spitting. And the Bible says right into the face of Jesus. And then it continues on, and the Bible says the Romans continued to do that. The Gentiles did that. They insulted him. But think about all the different ways he was hit. Maybe the first hit was with an open hand, when an older gentleman, and there was a slap across the face. And then a different word is used that would describe more of a closed hand. And he was buffeted. He was punched. And the Bible describes about how they took a whip and they hit him with a whip. And then they took a stick and they put the stick in his hand and then they took it away. And they hit him with a stick, but before they did that, they pressed a crown of thorns onto his head. The pain, the discomfort, the suffering. Excuse me, are you not thinking tonight what I'm thinking? This is the one who just said, I am, and everybody fell down. They went back and fell down on their faces. Why did he not do something to stop these people? There was no cause for the death, for the cross of Jesus. He didn't deserve it. And the cruelty just continues. And now they are condemning him. And they put him upon the cross. Think with me, though, about the control of the cross. The control of the cross. You see, normally when a person was on a cross, they would die actually of not being able to breathe. Because how would they push themselves up to breathe? And finally they would be asphyxiated. And you can just imagine that if you can't get air, how are you going to talk? You know what the Bible says? I would take it might be as many as four different times he spoke. And it's when he speaks with a loud voice. You see why? This is the Son of God. He's in full control. And when he's on that cross, it comes to the end, and the Bible says he did something you'll never do. The Bible says that he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he sent away his spirit. I couldn't send away my spirit. I wouldn't even know where to begin. He had that kind of control. He sent away his spirit. And the Bible then even goes even more. And it says that when he died, he inclined his head. Nobody died like that on a cross.
People who died on a cross, they died with their head back, trying to get that last bit of air.
But not at the cross of Jesus. Again, I come back to it. Why did the Lord Jesus suffer such cruelty when he had such purity and he was totally in control? Why did he do that? Are you not asking the question tonight? Why did he do that? If I had been on the cross, people would have had every reason to come up with all the list, and God himself knows all my sin. And if you were there, he could have produced all of the written record of heaven against your soul. But the cross of Jesus is a story that no painter has ever been able to portray. No videographer, no movie maker has ever been able to present. No author has ever been able to describe. And here's why. How would you ever describe what happened when the Lord Jesus was on the cross? Oh, yes, we can describe thorns and crowns and nails and a cross. But it's only the Bible. It's the only book in all the world that tells us this. The Bible says that when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, the punishment from God for my peace was laid on him. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. God made him to be sin for us. You should be asking the question, why would God do that? Above all, God should have known. He did know, my friend. He did know that the Lord Jesus was holy. That was his son. He knew all about his purity. He knew he could not sin. And God still punished him. God made him to be sin for us. I hope you're asking the question tonight. Why did he die? The cross of Jesus. Why? Recently, last year I was in a museum. Towards the end of last year, I was in a museum. And they said there was a heel bone and a nail through it from somebody who had been crucified. I looked at it, and the first thing that came to my mind was, I don't know who it was, but I know who it wasn't. It's not the heel bone of the Lord Jesus, because no bone of his was broken, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day, and he's gone back to heaven, so it's not his heel bone. But as we stood there for a few moments and looked at that heel bone of a crucified person with a nail through it, suddenly, not dramatically, we turned and walked away. It's a heel bone. I didn't cry. I don't know. It's just some guy's heel bone with a nail through it. You see, there was absolutely no connection. There are people on this side of this building, and there are people on this side of the building, when they hear the words, the cross of Jesus. Oh, my friend. And they don't think like I thought that day. No connection. It's March 31st, 1974. In my case, there was a connection. I suddenly realized, why the cross of Jesus? And I came to this simple conclusion. The cross of Jesus was for me. All for me. He was suffering the punishment. He endured the wrath of God. It was my sin that he suffered for. And because of the cross of Jesus, I am saved from ever having to be held accountable and responsible for my sin. He took that accountability. He paid for it all. He said it's finished. And because of the Lord Jesus, who died on that cross, I know for sure I will be in the heaven I never deserved to see. And I will never be in hell, the hell that I deserve to experience. All because of Jesus, the cross of Jesus. What does it mean to you tonight? Thank God you could be saved through the man of that cross. You could be saved if you could just understand your desperate sinfulness and understand his great provision. You'd find every reason. You'd find the connection. That's what you're missing. The connection. The cross of Jesus for me. Think about it. Trust him. He deserves your trust. He's made provision. May you trust him today and be saved forever. Shall we pray? Father, we're thankful tonight that all these centuries later, we can still try to declare the simple message that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. We pray for the salvation of souls tonight. We believe it's possible. The provision the Lord Jesus made is sufficient. We ask, Lord, that thou would have mercy on souls who are lost, and that they might not turn away, but rather that they will understand him and come to trust him and be saved forever. We ask thy blessing, giving thanks and committing ourselves to thee as we leave this building. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.